Hello, my name is Ben.
Hey, I'm Star.
And we are your hosts of the Too Vague podcast this week. One word, two hosts, stories, trivia, and video games. New guest today, we have Star on.
Yeah.
So, how is Star doing?
Star's pretty good today.
Do you normally refer to yourself in the third person?
Do you normally ask people by their name in the third person? If I ask, how's Ben doing? Is that not how you answer questions?
I would identify that you're saying, how's Ben doing? And I would say, I am doing fine. There is no correct answer. Whatever you want to do is fine by me, just as long as it's not hurting anyone.
I was told recently I had homeschool energy. And so now every time I do something weird, I'm like, is that it? Is that why?
It's homeschool energy. What does that mean?
Gen Z knows exactly what that means.
What is homeschool energy?
It's very similar to horse girl energy.
Okay, what is... okay, go ahead.
Usually, if you're kind of like, oh, they spent a lot of time with grown-ups, or like, it's kind of like only child thing too, which I also am.
Okay.
Like, you know when you meet someone who's homeschooled, and then you're like, oh, this person's cool, and then they're like, oh, I was homeschooled, and you're like, that makes sense. I don't know if that's happened to you. It's happened to me a lot.
Back in my day, there weren't a lot of homeschooled people. So it wasn't necessarily a thing. It wasn't as popular.
Yeah. We had online school too.
The nearest equivalent, I think, to that would be private school. But I mean, even then, it's... I understand what you're going at now. Horse girl energy, that makes sense because they're very proper. Is that what you mean by horse girl energy?
Well, yeah, usually it's the same. Like I was talking to this has been on my mind for a while. By the way,
I can tell.
Well, because I was offended. And then he was like, I didn't mean for you to take it that way. And I'm like, how did you mean me to take it?
Right.
I have lots of friends who are homeschooled and they're very lovely and not weird. Because like I grew up doing ballet and I also went to a Montessori school. And then my high school was special and I mostly danced. Like that's why I went there. We were like allowed to turn in our homework all at the end of the semester and get full points. So like it was special.
It was in Portland?
It was in Portland, yeah. Our high school mascot was the Democrat.
Seriously?
It was beat up donkey. Yeah, I went to Jefferson High School. Democrat, our mascot.
Nice. One of the weirdest mascots I've ever heard of was the Freeport Pretzels. That was in Freeport, Illinois.
Ooh.
But anyway, so as you were saying, Montessori and then high school and then...
And then, yeah. So, and then I also did, I was very focused on dance. And it's very similar with like, you see it in like gymnasts and like figure skaters. It's kind of that like hyper fixation. And like, those are the girl, like the traditionally girl thing. Or if you play like an instrument, it's a different kind of like, I think you're like treated more as a grown up too. And like, you've given a lot of responsibility and like, this is your discipline, you know? So like, you just have different social interactions.
Right.
That's my theory.
I don't think I had much of that. You're part of a sport or you're part of a club or something that requires some sort of practice and discipline. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And dance I would definitely put that in that category.
Danced like 6 days a week, at least 5 hours a day when I was in high school, which is just crazy.
Well, before we get into the word, which is dance related.
Rhythm.
Rhythm. You let the...
I spoiled it.
Well, that's fine. It's not really...
And then the big reveal.
Here's the thing. It's going to be on the cover, so I don't think it's spoiled too much, really. It's going to be the title of the episode, so
maybe they got it this far without realizing.
But you know what? I was going to say one other thing that at the time of this podcast, when this is put out, Valentine's Day would have passed. You doing anything special for Valentine's Day? Or
no, I don't like Valentine's Day. It's my least favorite holiday.
It's a Hallmark holiday. It's like love should occur between people every
day,
normally, right?
Normally, exactly. Also, I know my dad would agree with me on this one, but Groundhog Day doesn't get enough love in February. So, like,
that's true.
Pink hearts have to steal it from the groundhog. It's annoying.
Pink, chalky, tasting, blech, hearts.
I feel like I used to just eat them because I was like, it's candy, even though it was gross, you know?
Yeah.
Like when you're six.
Valentine's Day is an excuse for me to say my... Well, I mean, I used to say it more passive aggressively than I do now. Now it's just, I think it's funny. Wishing everyone happy VD.
I've really been enjoying my alone time recently, so I'm going to eat chocolate and probably be in rehearsal.
That sounds like a party to me.
Exactly.
Okay, before we get into the word, we usually talk about what's going on. Is there anything special going on these days? Or
I mean, there's always something special going on because...
Because it's you.
There's some... Yeah, because it's me and I'm special. I do have a show in April coming up for dance, and I keep having rehearsals for that, and I'm making a piece with my friend, which is pretty cool. I'm excited for that.
Nice.
That's what's going on in my life.
Are these traveling shows, or are these shows that you do at a theater in North Carolina?
This one's a dance festival specifically. We had one in November that was a film festival mixed with dance, which was really cool.
Oh, very cool.
It was fun. I liked that one. And like it, like good audience too.
What I've been doing, I just completed Soul Hackers 2.
Solid.
Are you familiar with any of the Shin Megami Tensei games? I mean, you probably, no. If you've got a Switch, you might have heard Shin Megami Tensei.
I might have.
I mean, did they make the Persona games? Did you ever get into those?
I don't think so.
Okay. Shin Megami Tensei is a sort of a, I guess, a brand. I mean, not really a brand, but it's, they have a bunch of different games underneath this universe.
I always see them on the store.
Okay.
When I'm looking for games. Maybe I should play. Okay.
If you like turn-based JRPG style stuff, then yeah. But if you want something more action-oriented, it's definitely not action. It's this turn-based sort of combat that is pretty popular. I generally like the action RPGs more than...
Slow ones. Action makes me stress. That's why I watch other people play games. Like, shooters make me stress.
Oh.
Laser tag makes me stress too, though.
Laser tag?
I love it, but I get nervous. Like, I get anxious.
Okay. All right.
I feel like it's similar.
There was a time when it was my go-to first date was going laser tag.
I want someone to take me to laser tag. Why isn't that happening?
Do you have a lot of laser tag places up in North Carolina? I don't know.
I could not tell you.
There's one down here. There's like a golf and stuff, I think. Maybe it was golf and stuff.
It is golf and stuff because I had my birthday there.
Okay.
I did the laser tag there.
That's the one in the building, right? It's
yeah,
like in a big building.
They have all the neon lights.
That's probably the coolest in Tucson. They have one that's like in a jumping castle, which is super dumb.
Mm.
It's like laser tag in a jumping castle. Come on.
How are you supposed to aim?
Exactly. And then also, this is not a show about laser tag, but there was this place called Photon that had these, like a helmet. It was very bulky. Like you would put on this sort of vest thing that had a sensor in the front and it was connected to this gun. And they had these photon facilities where you would go around and you'd play laser tag with each other. It wasn't a visible line. It was invisible. So you're shooting at something. You don't know if you're hitting it or not.
Nice. Battleship.
It was the early days of laser tag. But anyway.
Wow.
So, and then also there was the home version, but it's not a show about
There's
laser.
There's a home version?
There was. Worlds of Wonder
it's
came
not
out
a
with
show
it.
About laser tag.
It was actually.
Does laser tag count as a video game?
I don't think so. I wouldn't call it a video game. No.
I guess it doesn't have a video. I guess it's more like Nerf or LARPing. Anyway.
LARP. Do you LARP?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Do you?
No, I do not. No, I don't.
Okay, cool.
Is there a bad thing about LARPing?
No.
I mean, are there LARPing people? Like there are like horse girls and.
See, that might be the equivalent. I bet people who LARP have homeschool energy.
Yeah. LARPers have homeschool energy.
I bet they would admit it too. I'm friends with many. So I'm not being judgmental. But yeah, I think they do.
It's already closed down, but they had this cool sort of attraction at Disney that was the Star Wars Galactic Battle Cruiser.
Yeah, I don't think Disney counts.
Okay.
Disney special. Because, like, I wanted to be Rey, to be honest. I wanted to audition because she, like, gets to, like, walk around with kids and, like, follow people.
Right. That's the thing. On the Galactic Star Cruiser, that's the hotel, right? And it would have all sorts of interactive things where you're playing the role of a character on the starship. And then you land on the surface and go to Tatooine, and that's where you do all your stuff in the park.
Yeah.
You also have a mission or you can take on a mission for like one of the factions or whatever. I don't know if they're going to reopen it or do it again.
Things like that are hard.
Sounds like it was a fun thing to do.
I'm sure.
But
it's like hard to coordinate.
Happened at the wrong time too.
That, well, yeah. Yeah, that too.
With the pandemic. And it was just like, if it would have come out.
That's so unfortunate. But like lots of things happened with the pandemic that were probably more unfortunate. But you know.
This is very true. So the word this week is the word rhythm.
Rhythm.
We'll go with Merriam-Webster this week. I kind of ping-pong between Merriam-Webster and Oxford languages. Let's go down to the kids' definition, you know? Oh, there's even a medical definition? Okay.
Is that for your heartbeat?
It says a regular, recurrent, quantitative change in a variable biological process as the pattern of recurrence of the cardiac cycle, or the recurring pattern of physical and functional changes associated with the mammalian and especially human sexual cycle. And then it says rhythm method.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Use protection, folks. Don't use the rhythm method. That doesn't work. Not that I know. I mean, you know.
I don't need to hear.
I mean, I kind of know because I...
Please go on. No.
Let's not talk about that. That's the medical definition. But let's go with the kids' definition. A flow of rising and falling sounds in language that is produced in verse by a regular repeating of stressed and unstressed syllables.
In language.
A flow of sound in music having regular accented beats.
Accented.
Accented. And then we've got a particular or typical pattern of rhythm. A movement or activity in which some action repeats regularly. The rhythm of breathing.
Another body rhythm.
Breathing is one, yeah. It's mid-16th century, also originally in the sense of rhyme, from French, rhythme. I don't know. Do you speak French? I don't. Or via Latin from Greek, rhythmos, related to rhyme, to flow. So that is rhythm. Let's move on to the question at hand, which is, what do you, Star, think of when you think of the word rhythm? What is the first thing that pops into your head?
Dance.
Well, yeah.
It's something that I really love. I don't know. I've been exploring it lately, I guess, in like my own dance and how I choreograph and whatever. And when I think of rhythm, I don't know. I think about like, yeah, being with the music. I've been very musical my whole life. And so like when I see people dancing and like they're not in it with everything, I'm always, you have to let it take you. Feel the rhythm.
Do people think of rhythm as the beat a lot of times? Because when I think of dance, I think of sort of beat, but there's also a flow or a movement to dance that doesn't have to do with steps, right?
That's why I got all tripped up. I was like, starting to think about how do they differentiate.
Right.
I was making like a combination for one of my classes that I teach. I kept playing different songs for the same combination and being like, which part of this am I syncopating like with the music that I'm hearing, and which part of this am I like making the rhythm in my own body, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to tell my kids about it in class yesterday. It's kind of that like harmonious thing, I guess. I don't know. What are your thoughts? My thoughts are incomplete right now.
The syncopation, you said. Right. Uh-huh. Which is a variety of rhythms played together in music. You could also apply it to dance as an expression. When you choreograph, do you draw things or like draw patterns? Like this is the pattern you take on the floor, or do you do it more holistically? Like this dance or whatever you're doing here should convey some sort of a growth kind of thing. And you can do whatever you want to express that in dance.
I mean, that's really interesting because like what you're describing right now is a movement generation exercise that we have.
Oh, okay.
That I've like learned in like when I in college and summer programs and stuff. I don't think this one has an origin, but one of the exercises they would have us do is to like draw out a map, you know, or draw like a line over the paper and then make circles or put stuff here. And then like, what's your intention here? What's your intention here? So we'll do that for like improv, which is like when you're just moving without having like choreographed steps, moving into a choreography. Right, is putting steps together.
Right.
So when I do it, I've been dancing for a really long time, so I've used every tool, not every tool. I've used a lot of tools for coming up with stuff. And like, if it's something that's like a group piece, I will definitely draw it out or draw out patterns or like try and see them in my head. And that's another thing, like when I'm learning, I try and like map out patterns in my head.
Right.
But beyond that, for me, most of the time when I come up with steps, like I have a song that I'm really inspired by, or like I like the beat of it, or I like something about it, and then come up with steps that match that. But also, like, I do a lot of different styles. So like, that's what I would do with contemporary, but I wouldn't necessarily do that with a different style.
Like square dancing, you wouldn't really probably
would. I probably wouldn't do that in square dancing, but you know.
Do you teach square dancing too? I mean, do you just teach all sorts of dance?
I wish I could teach square dancing. I've been wanting to go because it looks fun.
You can go the line dancing.
Oh no, my aunt line dances. That's what I meant. Line dancing is what I want to do. I did learn square dancing when I was in second grade.
Right, right. I think we all did. Unless they took it out of grade school like they did with handwriting with cursive.
I'm proud to know cursive.
Oh, you do know. Uh-huh. Okay.
I practice lots of cursive. Okay. That's what I'm saying. They changed so fast.
Practicing and doing things in cursive, you're using a different sort of part of your brain. I'm still horrible doing cursive. Everyone goes, that looks like grade school cursive. And I was like, yep.
Yeah, that's when I stopped.
Grade school cursive.
Yeah, why would you use cursive if you don't have to? Mine looks bad too, but I like that I know it.
Yeah.
I had to copy it was one of those like paragraphs that we have. Maybe it was the preamble to the Constitution.
Gotcha.
We had to copy that in cursive. Never again.
Never again. You've done it once. It's crossed off on your bucket list.
Yeah.
I'm going to write the preamble in. Yeah, I don't think anyone has that on their bucket list.
Someone might. I really hope I'm correct about that. If someone who's like my dad, who's good at history, is like, what are you talking about? Then
your father is a smart man and a fabulous friend. One of the first friends I made in Tucson when I moved here from Chicago. So
he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a very, very good guy. Let's not shower your father with adoration this Valentine's Day. Heck, I'm not going to wish him happy VD. But anyway, so the question was choreography.
Yes.
So when you do choreography, it's sort of a mixture of showing people steps that they have to kind of memorize, a script. You don't really draw it out or anything unless someone is having trouble with it. People use different methods in their choreography of a dance routine.
100%.
Some people draw it. Some people don't. Some people just show people steps and here are the steps that are in my head. Here's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, most of the time it's showing steps. So like if I was going to say this is my choreography, it would all be the steps that I came up with. And I was just, that's like, they have to learn it. And that's something about dance. Like you just have to be really good at learning steps.
Right.
And you do it all the time. But if I made a score, like what you're talking with the map, right? If I drew it out and was like, in this corner, I want you to be a tree. And in this corner, I want you to feel sadness. That's called a movement score. It's like a music score. But it's like an improv score. I think they'll have that in music too. It's like your guidelines of what you're following for your like on the spot movement kind of stuff. But if I made a piece that was that, I'd be like, the choreography is me plus my dancers because they're generating their movement and that's coming from them, if that makes sense. Their steps.
Okay.
If I was clear about that. It's a whole thing.
How much of dance is pantomime?
Oh.
Is that a skill that you use as a dancer?
I've taken pantomime classes.
Uh-huh.
Dance is fun because there's so much history and there's so many cultures and there's so many things that like, go into it. And like most of my stuff was like Western concert dance from Europe.
Okay.
But like in ballet, because ballet is from 16th century, and there's like gestures that are related to pantomime that mean certain things within dance context that normal people don't know. If you're like rolling your hands together, that means dance. So they always have that in ballet. But like, we know what it means. No one else. Because it'll be like the fairy comes out and she's like, you, me, let's dance. No one knows that.
So it's like a secret code.
I would say. And then when you get into like experimental work, I would say some of that's like all pantomime. That's so interesting. I've never been asked that. But it is a theater kid slash like art, you know, performance major art school thing to joke about how many miming classes you have to take.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I had a game that I wanted to make at one point in time that was, this is silly, but it had to do with mime. It was a game where there was a story that involved a mime world and the real world. And there was a police officer in the mime world and a police officer in the real world who was trying to solve a crime involving a mime. And they switched police departments, kind of an exchange program. I don't think that'll ever happen, but it was just kind of just a thought that I had. That would be an interesting story. It's just
I like that.
Yeah.
I'd play it.
Maybe just write the story. I mean, it doesn't have to be a game, right? It can be another expressive medium.
That's true.
So anyway.
Or you find a friend who's really good at making video games. That's my plan in life.
Oh, is it?
Not video games specifically, but I like to, it's because I always am like, oh, I want to do that, but I don't know how. And then I find ways to make friends with people who know how to do the things that I don't know how to do.
Okay.
And then we collaborate. And I'm like, these are my ideas. And then they can help me.
That's how I got into podcasting. I appeared on someone's show. I did one of those Patreon things where I would give them money back when I had a little excess money. Now I spend it all on the show. But as part of my tier, it's a show called the Online Warriors podcast. And they do all sorts of geek stuff, right? It's just like nerd culture, movies, video games, stuff like that.
The fun stuff.
A part of my membership tier was I would get to be on the show every 3 months.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And that's when I started really thinking about it was, you know, after I'd been on, it was really fun. I was enjoying it. I didn't know how to do it. So it was just kind of do my research and just start somewhere.
That's the hard part. Or I don't know, for me, it's always like, I'm scared to like not be good at something. So I don't want to do it.
Oh, okay.
Trying to get over that. Yeah, I think it could be also because, like, I've literally been dancing since I was 3 or 4. I've gotten better at it, but there was, like, a while, especially, like, my late teens, that I was just so uncomfortable trying anything that I wasn't good at. I don't know. I'm trying to get over that. Maybe I'll start Twitch streaming to get over that fear.
You know what? That would be starting somewhere. I mean, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's something that if you enjoy playing games well or poorly, it doesn't matter. There's a whole part of Twitch streaming that is also a business.
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably know more about it than I do, but there's a piece that is promotional. You can make money at it. You can promote things. You can be seen by brands and even do just podcasts.
I've heard it's just like, because there's so many, it's like getting your foot in the door is really hard, but I'm cute.
You see, you got a leg up on me. I don't think anyone would want to see a Twitch stream with an old man playing video games with his cats. An old man and his cats. What are the cats doing? That's probably what they would tune in for.
For the cats.
I could fill a space. I could talk to people if I wanted to. But when I'm playing a game, it's more of a personal experience. I do it by myself. There are certain games I play with people. We'll get into this in the video game segment, but Rock Band,
Rock Band.
That's a rhythm game. And I used to have a friend come over and we used to play it all the time. And that was a lot of fun. So it's more of a social thing. I think certain games are better at that than other games, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, foot problems. I would think dance means foot problems.
Yes. My right ankle is mashed potatoes. That's okay, though.
Do you just deal with it? Or is it something that you're going to get surgery or something?
I probably wouldn't get surgery. I'd like been like recommended like a little bit for it. But it's also just like I can get her better with strengthening exercises. I had chronic sprained ankles throughout most of my like younger years because I never took time off. And so now it doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
But other than that, definitely that's something. Yeah, because, like, we'll dance barefoot a lot, too. So, like, point shoes, right? Everyone knows, like, point shoes hurt your feet because you're on your toes. Like, it's going to hurt.
Right.
But, like, the amount of times I've, like, split my toes open on stage, that's probably more common. Like, my point shoes, I don't do as much of that anymore. But
the ballet, you mean?
To an extent. Yeah, ballet, point work, like, classical ballet, I guess.
Right.
I did it in the spring of last year, though, so it hasn't really been that long. Yeah, when I dance barefoot now, like my last show I was in, I literally got off stage and I was wearing a white costume. And you're already paranoid when you're in a white costume. And then like, I had like blood all over the bottom part of my skirt. I was like, how did that get there? What happened?
Right.
I also think about tap dance, clearly.
Did you have a chance to watch that Star Trek Next Generation?
I did.
With Data learning tap dance for the wedding.
I think he had a dance double when they did the shot from up above.
Probably, but it was...
Probably. No, it was great. It's the perfect dance for a wedding.
Exactly. Why isn't there tap at a wedding?
I don't know.
I don't know why. There just isn't.
Because I feel that is definitely... I started playing instruments at a really young age, too. And I started tap dancing at a really young age. I mean, I will immediately go to like tap, I'd say, if I think about rhythm. That was my first like reaction.
It's not dance, it's specifically tap that your brain goes to.
Specifically.
Okay.
Because one of my favorite tap teachers would make us do stuff without music. And we did a lot of our work without music because it was about what sounds you're making and how you make your own rhythm in like silence, which is way more difficult than you'd think with your feet.
Right.
Maybe this isn't everyone. Like if like it's really easy to do like a simple drum beat on a drum kit.
Right.
And I want to believe that I guess it's easy to stomp your foot too. It gets complicated.
When you say tap, it's a musical instrument in itself. It's just kind of like that's what it is. You're making different sounds with your feet. You're playing an instrument, essentially, your feet.
That's why I think it's best without music. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, who did I see? We saw Savion Glover when I was really little, and he is Happy Feet.
Oh, okay.
Happy Feet's feet. He's probably one of the best known current tap dancers out there. I took a class with him in high school, which is so cool. But I remember watching him when I was younger, and it was the first show that I had seen that didn't have music. It's like when people like solo, like on a bass, or, you know, like when you watch them like in a show, I don't know, you know, like when you do like a guitar solo or whatever. It felt like that. And it was like just watching him and like his dancers do that. And I was like, what? Like, it's like a band, but it's their feet. That was really cool.
Yeah. There are a lot of like things like that with other dance troupes that do things that are dance, but they're also sound related. Yeah. I mean, I guess the sound of the steps. I mean, is there ever a dance routine that you want to be silent?
Ballet.
So ballet, you want to be silent. You're not making any noises.
When you dance, you don't want to make noise. No. Like the music, obviously. But that's something in ballet, which is also traumatic. Because you're supposed to be like lighter than air. You're taught your whole ballet existence. Like, how do I run without making sound? How do I breathe without looking like I'm breathing? You know, like those are all little things we learn.
Oh, wow.
Our teachers being like, you sound like elephants. Like you have to land your jump. Like you have to be quiet, especially with point shoes. Like you're supposed to be quiet in them, which they're like bricks on your feet. I'd say that's the only form that like it's taught to you that you have to be silent.
You know what? I'm going to send you something to watch really quick. Did you ever see the movie Top Secret?
I don't think so.
It's a Zucker, Abram Zucker movie. So, you know, like the airplane. I'm sure your dad, you used to watch Airplane. But
I like Airplane.
Val Kilmer, I think one of his first movies, actually.
Oh, cool.
But there's a sequence where they're at the ballet, and I want to send it to you really quick here to listen to or watch on your phone. Hold on.
I opened it in YouTube. I have a minute left.
Okay, cool. Can you see the guys? They have big cod pieces.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You know, there's something sad that took me really long time to notice because I've been doing ballet so long that I don't look.
Okay, yeah.
We just choose not to.
Right.
That's so funny. Okay, that makes, I see it. Now she's walking on them.
Okay, so you see the thing where they're walking across them?
Yeah.
Or stepping on them?
That's funny. I'm disappointed in myself for not noticing that sooner.
The last part is just the dancer using them as little footstool things.
Seems painful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
That's true. So yeah, that's the ballet made me think of. Just goofy stuff.
It's funny to me because dance was my whole life. And so like when you talk to other dancers, everyone has like similar, like, you know, similar things about it, which as with like anything, right? It's so niche that like when I talk to other people who just never, like so many people have never seen ballet or like they've never gone to a ballet because honestly, I probably wouldn't. Like,
I mean, I'm from Chicago and I've been to a couple myself, just because my parents like to kind of expose us to different things.
There's good companies there. Yeah. That's cool. Good. Which ones did you see?
I don't recall.
Do you remember?
No.
Did you see the Nutcracker?
I know we saw one or two of them. Oh, I did see Nutcracker. Definitely saw Nutcracker.
I should have made this joke when I was watching what you said, but I should have said it's the Nutcracker.
That was actually from the Nutcracker, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. It's Waltz of the Flowers.
Yeah.
She really did a Nutcracker.
Yep. The Nutcracker. There's a Nutcracker song on the game I'm going to talk about. Did you also have a chance to listen to that song I sent you?
I did have a chance to listen to it, and I couldn't figure out why I knew it. And I think we listened, I think my music teacher, he was also a big nerd, but I think he played it in one of our classes because I was like, I know this. And I remember him talking about it, but that's all I remember. So talk about it.
Yeah, because I mean, I think of that song by Peter Gabriel called Rhythm of the Heat. It's kind of an interesting song. It's unmistakably Peter Gabriel, if you're familiar with any Peter Gabriel music.
That's what my music teacher said.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
From what I remember. He knew everything about music.
Okay. Crazy. Peter Gabriel is, I don't know if it's accused. He includes a lot of world music, quote unquote, world music.
That's why I know him.
Tribal sort of things and all sorts of a mixture. And also WOMAD. WOMAD was a festival in England.
Yes.
World of Music, Arts, and Dance. That's what it stands for.
You know, I learned a lot of things. I don't retain a lot of, but I feel like we talked about it.
It's one of the things that Peter Gabriel invested in.
Okay.
And he performed this Rhythm of the Heat with drummers from Africa and dancers from China as a part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be, this is kind of funny. He used to be in a band called Genesis, which you've probably heard of.
Yes.
Peter Gabriel used to be the front man on the first three albums, and then he separated and did his own thing. And when he left, that became Phil Collins.
Oh.
So the first WOMAD was such a failure. He lost so much money that he had to play a reunion concert with Genesis to kind of bail him out of the investment.
It's too experimental.
It's like, okay. But then after that, it started branching out into different countries and more of a, it's just, world culture and music and arts and things.
The Americans didn't like the drum beat.
Well, the English didn't like the drum beats, maybe.
I've taken a lot of classes. We've learned some about that.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that the song Rhythm of the Heat was about what it was about. But if you have something to add.
I read that it was about Carl Jung.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I did my homework before the show.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I listened to the song and I was trying to figure out why I knew it because I was like, I know this song. Why do I know this? Where do I know it from? It was my class. Yeah. It said that he was inspired by Carl Jung's experience with, you can explain it, but yeah, no, he was like with the African drumming and then he got really scared.
Right. Exactly. Peter Gabriel learned about it in Jung's book, Symbols and the Interpretation of Dreams. Jung was studying. Is that how you pronounce it?
I only say that it might not be. My mom is getting her doctorate in Jungian psychology, and she also studied German. So that's what she says.
Carl Jung. Okay. Okay.
Well, but everyone else does not say that. I mean, in America. So
Carl Jung. Carl Jung. No.
I think she thinks it sounds better.
Makes it sound smarter, I guess. He was studying the collective unconscious and was afraid he would go mad as the drummers and dancers let the music control them. So throughout the song, that's essentially what Peter Gabriel captures, that feeling through his lyrics and the song itself. So it just kind of builds. It was originally called Jung in Africa. The end of Rhythm of the Heat uses the Ghanaian war dance drums.
I read that.
The song itself is inspired by that, but it just has a really world music sound to it. Really great song. I didn't know it was about specifically that. So that was interesting to me when I did the research. But then also, in Your Father and My Generation, it was used on season one of Miami Vice.
Oh, see, I never watched that.
So there you go. Miami Vice.
Miami Vice.
Oh, yeah. Natural Born Killers. It was also in the movie Natural Born Killers, too. So that's what I think of. I think of Peter Gabriel's Rhythm of the Heat.
That's cool.
And I always liked his music. I was a big fan of him and Genesis. So Do you have any bands that you are really into that kind of inspire dance?
Ooh.
Are there things that inspire dance, like artists that you listen to inspire dancing? Or do you just dance to anything?
For that...
I'm laughing because on the last episode, your father mentioned something about the Dead Milkmen. And they have a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a song called You'll Dance to Anything.
They do. I like their songs. They make me laugh. The way I do music is very different than I think most people that I've met, because like I'll have like a favorite song in the whole world and not like any of the other music that that band makes or whatever, or I won't like it for a long time. So like a lot of it is just me listening to the music that I like.
Okay.
And then if I hear a song, I'll be like, oh, I like this. I would dance to it. Like so much of it has like, and I don't know if it's because I'm at a point where I don't have to think about it anymore, or because dance is such a primal instinct, which I think that that would be cooler. Get so much like about feeling in your body.
Right.
Tying back to the song, like that would make sense for him, like for even like Jung feeling like that.
Feeling afraid of that.
Yeah. In high school, I did a lot of African dance and I've done drumming. And so like I took African drumming classes. I've done a lot. No, but what was the original question?
You are going to be fine on further shows. You're going to be great on further shows because I do the same thing.
Talk.
I do this. That's the show, Star. We go off on tangents and then we try and bring it back to rhythm. I think the question related to...
It was music.
Like how do you...
What do I choose?
Yeah. Or does it choose you?
Well, lately it changes, you know, too, because I used to only be like and only do things that are soft and pretty like that. Like I couldn't make stuff to things that like weren't that.
Musically or lyrically or both?
Mostly musically.
Okay.
If I'm dancing, I don't pay attention as much to like if a song has lyrics or not. But if it's like a song that I love, then I'm going to know all the lyrics.
Right.
And then sometimes I'll do both. I will choreograph to a song that I know all the lyrics and I love, but I'm like, oh, I never heard these parts of it because I never listened to anything other than like the parts I wanted to sing.
Right.
But I will say I've been listening to a lot of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Okay.
But like they're very groovy, a lot of their songs.
Groovy as in 1960s groovy, or are you talking about
inspired? Yeah.
Okay.
I guess they're kind of like 60s, 70s, kind of, but then also kind of jam band, but not jam band, you know?
Right.
They're just like people, they're like a crossover.
They're not making like 30-minute songs and stuff like that, right?
But they'll do like improvisational stuff, and they're really big, like there's a lot of them. There's like a new thing coming up with the young people, like where it's really funky again. It's not jazz, but I guess if you like, it's in people who are jazz musicians, you know, inspired by that.
Like when I think of funky, I think of Stevie Wonder stuff.
Yeah, I'd say. Or like, do you know Alt J, the band?
Alt J.
Yeah.
No, I do not.
Okay. They're also another thing that I'll choreograph to a lot, even if I might not like listen to them all the time, because rhythmically, their songs are really interesting. And like the lead singer, he grew up as a chorus singer. So a lot of the songs they have will like have a lot of overlaying vocals, which is really cool.
Okay.
But it'll have canons and like overlay with the vocals. And then like a really like, it's not necessarily a groovy beat, but I want to say it's a groovy beat. You know, like it's like a pushing. I wish you could see the gestures I'm making because my words aren't working today.
That's fine. Pantomime.
I'm real good with the pantomime. They have sick beats.
Sick.
That was our joke.
Do you make fun of people who say sick, or is it just do young kids say sick?
Well, they might. The joke is, I don't know what the people do. I'm a homeschool energy. I don't know what normal people do.
Okay, so your father and I used to work with this guy named Jesse, and Jesse and I had the same birthday. But I mean, not we weren't the same age, right? He used to say sick about everything. So that was sick. This is all sick. This is sick.
I feel like it's still a thing in certain communities.
Okay. All right.
Fire is a big thing that people say.
I know the fire thing. That
might be a millennial thing. And I'm just hanging out with people older than me. I don't really know because like that wasn't like we didn't. Maybe I have homeschool energy and I didn't say it.
You just fall back on the homeschool energy. It's like, no,
I'm questioning everything here.
Don't question. No. There's There's no good or bad about homeschool energy, whatever the hell that means.
It just is.
It just is. It's like people calling me a nerd. Are you saying I'm a nerd because of my glasses? Are you saying I'm a nerd because I like nerdy things? I mean, what does that mean? It really means nothing. It's just I feel what I feel, and that's who I am. So
it's all meaningless. Exactly. But back to sick beats, I think this is a funny story.
Dropping some sick beats.
I don't know how aware of you are, but my generation is the generation of SoundCloud rappers.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone has Ableton or whatever they can do to make their beats on their computer. And SUNY Purchase, the school I went to, Stanley Tucci also went to that school. So that's my claim to fame. Not when I was there, but I'm not going to go on all the famous people that went there. Anyway, back on track. There's a major called studio production, and there's studio composition, which is songwriting, and then studio production, which was technically it's production, which is really cool, making the song sound good. But all of us were just like, they make sick beats because half of the major did. That's all they like. Half of them were just like, I want to be a SoundCloud rapper, which is great. I love some. There's some really good SoundCloud rappers. There's just there's a lot of them, and the boys have a certain energy about them. And they're the kind of people who would say sick, which is why they make sick beats.
Gotcha. Okay. I think we've come full circle. I do understand sick beats now. Excellent. Do you have any fond memories of your youth playing video games that were quote unquote rhythm games?
The disco game and Club Penguin.
Club Penguin. Do you know that? No.
Really?
Club Penguin. Online game.
Yeah, it was like one of those MMOs.
Released in 2005. Okay, so
yeah, it's dead now. It was on Flash.
They did have one that came out on the iOS, I thought.
But it wasn't very good. I do think it was on Flash Player. I know that Club Penguin shut down on its own because Disney bought it and then they shut it down because it wasn't making enough money. And then they made the stupid app that was stupid and it wasn't good. We don't talk about the app. Yeah, it was like part of our childhood. And then they made like, we don't need to get into this, but like they kept making, like people would like make like their own servers for Club Penguin or like their own, like they'd like copy what it was and then they could make their own website. I don't know technology, but you know.
I understand. Okay, so.
You know what I'm saying.
Right.
And then so there was like Club Penguin Online and Club Penguin Rewritten and like people like went back to play it. Then they had drama with each other. It was a whole thing on the internet. In a very specific community. But I used to play this game back in 2005 when my friends were like, do you have an account? And I was like, no. And it was the funnest thing ever. You're in a town, basically, right. A penguin place, and it has one of those maps, and you can click on the places that you go. And one of them was the square. That's where they had the disco. And then you go into the disco, and then it was like a club. And okay. So they had like a game that was like the dance game in the dance club.
Okay.
And it was the, you know, the four keys, like the arrow key.
Up, down, left, right. Like Dance Dance Revolution was in the arcades like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And I was really good at it. And I remember playing it and being like, wow, I'm really good at this game. So I played it over and over and over again. Because when you played games, you'd also get coins. So that was my go-to coin game. So you could buy things in the game.
Cosmetic stuff, right?
Yeah. I would do it to buy clothes. Or Puffles.
Oh, Puffles.
They had pets. They had pets called Puffles. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And you could upgrade your igloo. And you had to have a membership to do any of these things. So, like, I had to beg for a membership. And then I'd get one for, like, a year. And then I wouldn't have it anymore. I remember it was the cycle of, will I have it or won't I? For years. That's how all those games were. Because I would switch it between the different online games that you needed a subscription for. There was Wizard 101. Tropica. Those were so fun.
That was a little bit out of my age range at that point in time.
Yeah. I also did play a lot of Dance Dance Revolution. We had it on our Wii. We had the mat that you like fold up.
Right. Did you see the original NES mat? I sent you a video about that. It was this aerobics game.
Yes. With the numbers.
Yeah.
That was weird. So they had a map for that. That's what I was trying to figure out what the controls were. Okay. And then I figured that must be what it is.
Nintendo back in the day was always about Nintendo Power or whatever. So I think it was called the Power Mat. Let me see. The dance aerobics for the Power Pad.
Oh, Power Pad.
The dance aerobics. It wasn't really dance so much as, I mean, how much of it was a rhythm game too? But it was a predecessor. Music was kind of lame, but it was NES music, so I had like automated voice go 1, 2, 1, do anyway.
You know the Wii Plus, how it had the balance pad?
Uh-huh.
They had like a stepper. What are those? Like the aerobics classes with where you step onto the thing and you step down.
Step aerobics.
Step aerobics. Yeah. They had that on that.
Okay.
It reminds me of that.
I was looking through the list of all these pad games, but the one.
It's bad.
Yeah, the power pad. It had two sides too, actually. There was one side that was, it had two red dots in the middle, two up above, two below, and then one to each side of the red. And then it also had the ones that it used for the aerobics, which was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 orientation. I was looking at this list of games. One was like jogging. There's one that was like a jogging game.
When you were saying that, I'm like, how many games could they have made? I don't want to jog on a pad.
The answer is they made 11 games for it.
Thank you.
So there was like athletics. There's running stadium. Running stadium.
What do you do? Run in place?
You just run. Yeah. There's one called Jogging Race.
Another running.
Which is a jogging and hiking game released in Japan in 1987. There was one called Maze Epic Battle. That's the translation, which is a maze exploring game.
That's kind of cool. Maybe. Mm-mm.
Just a maze? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I was going to say, in my head, that sounds cool, but then if it was like the technology.
Right. That was the thing, too. The technology, I think it was, you know, Nintendo liked to try things.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the Wii U.
Like the Wii U. And then before that, there was Virtual Boy. I don't know if you ever have a chance to look up Virtual Boy.
I actually do know that one. I watch weird video essays sometimes.
The Virtual Boy is like,
Virtual Boy.
Wow. It was awful. It was awful and really bad for your eyes, too. Apparently, there was one called Manhattan Police, which is a game where you would chase criminals and jump over things to catch them.
Parkour.
Yeah, pretty much. Parkour. Yeah.
Parkour. That's kind of fun, though.
Let me see. Player had to step on buttons corresponding to each of the cop's actions, such as moving, jumping, and clubbing.
Oh.
Clubbing.
It's more fight the police.
That doesn't sound good. Clubbing.
GTA. Clubbing. I don't want to be clubbed.
Yeah, don't be.
Unless they're like going to a rave, you know, I don't want to be
then
clubbing.
Then clubbing is fine. I don't think that's what they meant. I mean, it was a dance pad, but it was not that kind of club.
It wasn't a dance game. That'd be funny.
No seals were harmed during the making of this. Anyway, they had all these silly games, but there was one that caught my eye because I think this has got to be a bad translation. It's called Rai Rai Kaion Shis Baby Kenoshi no Amida Daibouken, which what they have translated here is come, come, fallen corpses, baby, fallen corpses, Amida, great adventure. That's the translation I see here, but I don't think that's actually what it is. There was apparently a TV show. I look at this game and it's just dumb. It's just like you would pick one of three paths and you'd reach an ending, one of three endings. But you just had to walk and dodge things as you were walking up a screen, which just seemed boring.
Yeah.
But Dance Dance Revolution was not boring. In fact,
no.
How good were you at Dance Dance Revolution?
I think I was pretty good. And I can testify to this because when I was 19, me and my best friend growing up, we would have video game like play dates on Tuesdays. Me and my best friend at the time, we went and saw my best friend from Tucson from when I was little, but she was living in New York. We were playing Dance Dance Revolution, and we remembered, like, all of the steps. It was crazy. Lady Gaga, Just Dance. We okay. would always do that one. And I still remember, like, I'll hear certain songs, or there was a Pink song, the So What. Every time I hear it, I think about the Dance Dance Revolution steps. Like, they're in my body.
You were that good. Like, you could play the double one, like, that uses both pads and stuff. Were you that advanced? Or
I wasn't that good, no.
Okay.
I wish.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that was towards the later game releases. They had the double. And then I saw videos of people like jumping over the back, the bars, and they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bars there so that you can move your feet crazy fast.
Yeah.
I'm not that good.
I think I could get up to whatever the average. That was about it. I wasn't horribly great, uh-huh. but
That's fair.
When it came to rhythm games, Dance Dance Revolution was more having fun with friends doing it in the arcade. But there was an arcade game that was in the same series that Konami, they had a company that was split off that did music games called Beatmania, which was Beatmania. It was essentially Dance Dance Revolution, but it was the first game in the Beatmania catalog. On the side, little lines would appear and you would press buttons that would correspond to different DJ sounds, and you would also have a scratching turntable. So it was like you were doing a DJ thing from back at like clubbing back in those days. Mm-hmm. Like you would, it had some really cool tracks, and it was, you know, the same type of thing as Dance Dance Revolution. Like you'd listen to songs that were like J-pop and that you would never hear in the United States, but then you would also hear things that were, for example, Pink, right?
Or right.
When it started getting really popular, they were licensing songs all over the place.
And then Just Dance, and they had to compete.
Yeah, Just Dance was a later sort of thing.
When they had the motion controls or whatever is what.
Right.
And like the Xbox Kinect, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
They tried.
There was also the Sony iToy that came out, which was just like a webcam, essentially, is all it was. There was this game where you were playing songs, but you would have to shake your hands in various areas of the screen. It was sort of a dance game, but it was just torso up that I remember playing.
Torso up. Did it work? Did the controls work?
Yeah, it worked. Okay. Because it would show you on the screen, and then you would use your hands in the various spots that appear on the screen. So it was looking at you.
Oh, so you could see. Oh, okay.
So you just had to stand in a certain spot and it would detect where your hands were and where you were shaking your hands. So it was kind of cool.
Oh.
Yeah, that was another one of those rhythm games that I remember. You were talking about the taiko drum game that you would play.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that you played recently, or not in the arcade, I'm guessing, right? Just
no, Switch.
Was it actually on drums that you were playing it on?
No, you can buy a kit and get it on drums. We were just doing it with the, are they Joy-Cons? Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
The thing about this one, I don't know, it did something different. I don't know, I can't really remember. I'm not good at describing things, as we've clearly found today. I'm going to work on that for next time.
Okay.
It was really challenging, but it was challenging and still on beat, which is something that, like, some of the beat games I've played haven't, like, they don't, or the way the controls are, you have to press it before the actual, like, beat is, which, like, bothers me and only probably me for, like, dance reasons. But this one wasn't like that. It was
really tight.
Really on tempo. Yeah, I didn't blink.
There is latency as far as between signals and stuff that people, you know, have to adjust if they're playing like Rock Band. There are adjustment settings because of that latency, and you just tune it to what you are comfortable with. And maybe it's just something that you noticed and no one else did because they're not dancers, right? So
yeah,
that's interesting that you found that was,
it bothers me. Yeah, no, that's how either Rock Band or Guitar Hero is, you have to push it earlier.
And right.
I do it because I fall. You get the body rhythm of going earlier than the music. I just, I don't like adjusting. So like this one, I didn't have to adjust to. And everyone was really bad at it and I wasn't. So I was like, okay, I'll be super competitive.
Are you super competitive with these games?
Or no? I am way more competitive than I deserve to be with all games.
Okay.
I'll go into Mario Kart with so much confidence.
Right.
And so much drive to win. And I should, but I don't.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's how it goes. I really think I'm going to, too.
Yeah. I mean, Mario Kart is one of those things where it's, I mean, there's so many people who do all so good at it. Like, even back in the old days, right? I mean,
they know how to drift.
Exactly. I had a tough time drifting. I think there was a Mario Kart game that I played when I had a Nintendo DS back in the day, and it was really, really tough. You could connect it to, you know, the network and play against people from all across the world. I got my butt handed to me so many times on that thing. It was just like, it was not fun anymore.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to do if I go to Japan, there is a place, and I don't know if it's still around. This is pre-pandemic, but there is a go-kart place where you can rent go-karts and drive in Tokyo through different circuits. But it's like you're driving go-karts in Japan. It's like, you know, yeah, it's Mario Kart.
You're in a seat.
Yeah, exactly. It's like live Mario Kart.
Japan's so, they have the funnest things.
Yeah.
Or I hear about the funnest things. I don't know. I haven't been, so I wouldn't know, but I want to go.
Likewise. It's something I really want to do eventually. First things first, pay off debt. That's what. But anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I told you about was the maracas. That's another one of those rhythm games I remember, was Samba de Amigo. There were two games on the Sega Dreamcast that I would consider rhythm games. One was Space Channel 5, which was basically they would say a pattern and then you would repeat the pattern with your joystick. It would be like left, left, right, right, shoot, shoot, shoot. And then you would do that with your buttons and the joystick. And it was like Simon. You ever play the game Simon? Which are the four colors where you have to repeat?
Yeah.
It was sort of like
or
that.
Like a Bop It.
Yeah, it was like a Bop It. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bop It. Squeeze it.
All the things.
Yeah, all twist the things it. On it. Yeah, twist it. The other one was the Samba de Amigo, where you bought these. It was a maracas controller. It was kind of like a mat, and the mat had a little thing, a sensor on the top that would judge the height of your maracas as you were raising
height?
raising and lowering them. So these little dots come out from the center, and you have to shake the maracas to the beat with those dots, right? And then you have ones where you oppose would appear on a screen, and you have to do the strike the pose. But it was like one of those rhythm, early rhythm games that I thought was really fun. Also very different, but you know, sort of Dance Dance Revolution adjacent, but more with your upper body.
Yes. Less feet control.
Less feet, more upper body.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting when like the big franchises, they have like a spin-off beat game. Like I didn't really realize that so many did. I don't know. Like there's a Zelda one. I looked at it and I was like, I don't want to play that. I can't believe that in my brain at the time, I was like, I don't like beat games.
Right.
Because I was like, it's boring. Uh-huh. And then I thought about it, cause we've been talking about it so much this week. And I'm like, these games are fun. Like they're so much fun. And like, maybe for me too, part of it's like that kind of like, you do fall into like that kind of rhythm of like, oh, I'm listening to music and it feels really natural and like, I guess like human to an extent to like try. Like I get real, I don't know. I like patterns.
Yeah, no, patterns are.
I get real into them.
Yeah, yeah.
I have so much fun.
That's pretty much what rhythm games, and to a lesser extent, all video games have to do with some kind of rhythm or patterns, right? Patterns of movement, patterns of turns or whatever. Rhythm games kind of died at one point, I think, because of people didn't want to buy specialized controllers.
You can only fit so many.
Yeah, but now they're kind of coming back. One of the early rhythm games that I remember playing on my PlayStation 2 was this game called Frequency. And there was a sequel called Amplitude, but it was basically a ship and you would travel on this track. There were tracks that were side by side with each other, right? So you would switch between doing beats on one track and then switch to another track and complete them. They have a current version of Amplitude that came out for the PlayStation 4, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. But it's just a fun beat game, but it has to do with
cool.
Yeah, you just complete different tracks and what those
I think
do.
I've played this game.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, and it actually plays, it finishes the track in the music, so the music changes and adds things as you continue and complete those different tracks. So you're actually playing the music or the lyrics or the drum beat or whatever. That was one of my favorite video games. You know what? One last thing before we go. One game that I just recently started playing, and maybe I'll just talk about it on a different episode in more detail and maybe do a review of it. But I've been playing this game called Trombone Champ, which recently came out for the Nintendo Switch, but originally it was on the PC and then it came to the Mac. I bought it on Steam because it looked ridiculous. It is a game that sort of started out, it was sort of a joke. The designer, Dan Vecchitto, V-E-C-C-H-I-T-T-O, Vecchitto.
Vecchitto.
Vecchitto. Okay.
I don't know. Is he Italian?
I would guess.
I would think.
Yeah. But anyway, he designed this game that was started out because he had this idea of just a fake like arcade game that was a trombone slide controller. So like that would be like the arcade game with a trombone. Like that was the joke. Like I want to come up with a game that is a rhythm game that's, you know, got a trombone attached to it. And so then he started thinking about how, you know, trackballs and, you know, touch pads and other things work. And so he came up with this game and it just took off from there. And just, it's so much fun. I played it yesterday. I'll put a link to the Steam page and maybe the Switch page too in the show notes. It is so much fun, ridiculous fun. After every song I played, I was just laughing. Just like, it was just, people thought I was nuts probably in the coffee shop. I was just playing it and at the end of the track, just laughing hysterically.
I'm going to buy that game on Switch tonight.
You need
to try
it. Next time
we try the motion controls.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting to me because even just with my touchpad on my Mac, the tricky part is you just use a key on your keyboard and your touchpad. But it, you know, like any MacBook, the touchpad is also a mouse, right? Mouse buttons. So that can get a little tricky when you're trying to hit.
I hate touchpad. I don't think I could play games like that.
Yeah, I mean,
it hurts.
Oh, okay. So it hurts
like
your hands?
My hand, I get
okay. It's an acquired skill. Like a lot of people play those first person shooters with WASD with the keys, and then the mouse is used for wherever your viewpoint is.
Mm-hmm.
In general, yeah, touchpads not usually a thing I use. But for this game, it works just fine. And I would imagine with people on the Switch, you know what's funnier than one trombone playing a song badly? Four trombones playing a song badly. And it's just, it's so, so ridiculously fun.
I can't imagine all the trombones at the same time.
Yeah, I think I saw like a little snippet in one of the Nintendo Directs that shows the... But it just sounded like they were just a little bit off, you know, just like it was almost like a chorus. But it sounds really fun. Yeah. I'm trying to unlock the secret boss battle. It's got a lot of great humor in it. It's just the best joke game possible, I think. So, yeah, check it out. On that note, do you have any final words on the word rhythm before we close out the show?
I don't know. I woke up at 5:30 a.m.
Okay, that's good enough.
Those are my words.
Those are final words. That's good. Rhythm is something that I guess I kind of understand on some level. I know that it involves patterns and repetition, and it's something that probably I don't think about as it relates to my feet as much as you do, but as it relates to my hands loving video games and playing, it definitely is there. I think it's something you can learn too. I don't know. Do you think, can you learn rhythm?
100%.
Yeah.
You can, yeah. I mean, I think that because there's like musicality and then like rhythm, right? And I think rhythm has more to do with natural in your body. Like I think anyone can like listen to their body and listen to like the world. And like if you're like in tune enough, like I think that's kind of where that comes from.
Uh-huh.
So I definitely believe that, like, you can learn it.
It's not something necessarily that you're born with, although I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably six of one, half dozen of the other. I think, you know, maybe some of it is innate in the human nature, and then there's part of it that you've got to learn or explore. Yeah.
And if you're taught it from a young age, I feel like obviously it's going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, like, or if you played an instrument or you did, you know.
Yeah.
I believe I can learn anything. So I don't.
So thank you, Star, for joining us on this week's episode. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for letting me ramble.
It's, you know what? It's part of the show. That's what we do here. We ramble, and then have you actually listened to some of your father's episodes? I mean, we kind of ramble a lot.
That's why I'm okay. Yeah.
Felt
okay doing it.
Exactly. It's almost natural. Do you talk with your father like that too? Do you both ramble?
Yes. I talk to both of my parents like that.
Okay. All right.
And I think that's why I have homeschool energy.
It all comes back to homeschool energy, I guess.
That should have been a word.
I just learned something new about homeschool energy. Thank you, audience, for joining us on this week's episode of the Too Vague Podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Star.
And we've been your hosts. Have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye.